Hello, and welcome to the Academic Aesthetic Podcast for Thursday, May 1st, 2008. I'm your host, Aaron the Archive Smith, and this is a conference presentation that I did today at MICA, which is Baltimore's annual technology and education conference. Now, I just had a little creative MP3 player that had a recording feature built in. I turned it on. Well, I warned everyone that I was going to turn it on first. Then I turned it on and pretty much just talked for 45 minutes, answering some questions and going through a presentation. I promised that I'd be recording this and uploading this for people to reference later. So what follows this little introduction is pretty much the entire conversation I had. Now, most of my podcasts are a lot shorter than 45 minutes. This one's long because, like I just said, it's a presentation. And I apologize for the quality because there was apparently a little bit of an echo. I was able to take out some background static noise. I was not able to take out the echo, unfortunately. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, now we're recording. And so, let's move on with the presentation. Okay, today's agenda, I'm going to talk about safety because I don't teach you that enough. I think that's very important to discuss. Content recording, hosting. I'm going to include demonstrations at the end. I'm going to start off mostly giving overviews about a lot of different things and then focus on some of them. So if you happen to leave early for whatever reason, you still get a taste of everything. Okay? And if at any time you have a question, please raise a hand or just yell it out or throw something at me and I'll try to answer your question. You don't have to wait at the end to ask me a question. By the way, the big no sign in front of the iPod. The most common question I get asked when I tell people I'm into podcasting, and I know a lot about podcasting, is, oh, well, don't you need an iPod for that? No, actually. It's named after the iPod because it was at the time and still is the most popular MP3 player ever made. The other part of it, the casting part, is short for broadcasting. However, I was podcasting for at least a year before I even bought an iPod. I was listening to podcasts for longer than that. So, no, you don't need an iPod, it's just named after it. Okay, first off, safety. I think safety is incredibly important for your sake and your students' sake. I hear all kinds of presentations talking about the logistics and the technical aspects of recording a podcast, but there are other things you got to worry about, too. First of all, if you're going to podcast in your school or using your students, ask the principal if it's okay first. Chances are they're going to tell you the same thing I have for the second thing on the list. Get some permission slips. Even if your school has one of those things where they hand a paper to each student they take home and get the parents to sign, that's like a media release form or something, just in case you put the student's page up on student's face up on the county website. Not every family signs that, and there has been at least one case that I've heard of where somebody just use the student's face in, it was a photograph that they put up on a website, and it turned out the student had to sign that form, the parent had to sign that form, because they were in the witness protection program. So, better safe than sorry. When my art club did podcasting last year, this was focusing more on digital photography, but when my art club did podcasting last year, I didn't have a single one of them do a podcast until I had to sign permission slip. And even if you have them in there, don't use the real name. Some people say, well, you use this the first name, don't use the last name. I don't use anything that's identifiable at all. I actually would take things like names from Shakespearean plays and put all the boy names in one bag and all the girl names in another bag, and I said, here, pick one. So instead of saying, hi, my name is David, and this is the podcast, I'm saying, hi, my name is Caius, and this is my podcast. And they still had a sense of ownership because they knew they were the only one in that podcast that was using that handle, that name, but there was no identifiable information. And that is really, really key. I don't even use school names. I might say a school name to a presentation if I'm not recording it. If I do say it, I'll edit it out. But I don't want any identifiable information. This is going all over the place. People move around a lot. And if someone's looking for someone, they can do searches in various ways. There are even search engines, they're not that great, but there's a few search engines out there
that could even search through the audio files for keywords. Speech recognition. And yeah, no personal information at all. Okay, content. This is the part that I think Nest of Safety should be focused on the most. Yes, all the technical aspects are very important, but very often I see a blog or a podcast where they have episode 1 come out and they say, this is my first blog, this is my first podcast, I'm going to do all this cool stuff, yada, 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 and they say all their ideas in the first one. I did that. For those of you who remember me talking before the session started, I recorded a really long podcast that I'm not going to say any more about because I'm recording this and I don't want to embarrass myself anymore. And they say it all at once, and then they're out of ideas. And the podcast just stays like that for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and there's nothing more that comes of it. So, first thing I would do is subscribe to other podcasts and blogs. They're a great source for ideas. Even if you do a podcast or your students do a podcast, that's a response to another podcast. That's additional content. And actually, responses are even better because you're furthering a conversation. It might be drawn out, but it helps. A great source for finding more podcasts, especially educational podcasts, is epnweb.org. I mentioned David Woods before I started recording. He was a keynote speaker last year. He's the one who maintains epnweb.org. It is a wonderful source. I'm not just saying that because you can find my podcast there.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Is this on your on this site?
Yes. Well, no, the PowerPoint isn't, but all the information that's in the PowerPoint, it has been harvested from that. Another thing you can do is write scripts or lists in advance. This helps for more than one reason. If you're just writing down, you know what, great idea for a podcast, I can do this. I'm not going to record it right now because I'm actually in the middle of teaching a fourth grade class how to do long division. And that would be a bit of a problem, so I'm just going to write that down first and I'll get back to it later. You might have a list of like 5 or 6 or 10 ideas that you'll get to eventually, but they'll be there for you when you're saying, you know what, it's time to record a podcast, because I told myself I'd go on a weekly schedule, I'm going to stick to that. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll go to the list. Writing scripts helps as well, particularly for if you're like me, especially when I first started out, and you say, and then you pause for 15 minutes because you've totally lost your train of thought. If you have a script, you don't do any of that. And that does lead to other problems, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Okay, finding a partner. Well, that sort of doesn't always work with doing a script, but it does work with having a conversation. There are some podcasters, both educational and otherwise, that have said that they don't know how the people who do podcasts solo are able to do it. Because in having a conversation with someone, it helps them come up with ideas for what to say next. They're constantly responding to somebody else. And in some cases, those people have to limit themselves. They set a timer, and when the timer goes off, they have to stop the podcast, because otherwise they go on for 3 hours, and some people don't like listening to 3-hour podcasts about cheese, or whatever topic they were discussing. And the last bit of information, acting out. Some people, especially if they write a script, then read it like they're reading a book report, and this is about the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire. One thing I like about don't do that. Pretend you are in a play, acting out, enunciation. Be dramatic if you want to be, if you're an extrovert like me. Okay, recording. Now we're into the hardware. That picture was taken by David Willick. He posted it up on the wiki, and I will drop his name as often as I possibly can. Just because he's a lot more famous than me. That's his little recording device he uses. It's made by Olympus. I think it costs him around $70. He puts more detailed information up on the wiki if you're interested in getting that particular model and want to be just like him. And he carries it around the conventions, and he interviews people before and after presentations and stuff, and he puts those up on his podcast. So let's see. Well, first of all, how many of you saw me yesterday? Okay, a few of you. I was doing a podcasting booth that was actually right outside that door. I didn't see anyone there when I was coming in, but I got here right after the keynote, so I don't know if someone's manning that today. I was only asked to man yesterday. And I was telling people, hey, all you need to make a podcast is a phone. There's a service called GCast. There's a few others out there that allow you to record a podcast with a cell phone. GCast I like because it's very easy, and oh, by the way, free. Every tool I'm going to tell you about today, other than the hardware, is free. Because, let's face it, we're educators. We didn't get in the shop for the money. And if you did, you might want to think about other careers. Never mind. If you set up a GCash account, the only information they ask for is your email address. If you want to set up an account and upload files and record it from another source, they'll ask for a phone number if you want to record with a cell phone or a home phone or whatever phone you want to use. You call them up. They have caller ID. If you call them with the phone that you registered, they'll know that you're calling with that phone. And all they'll ask you for is your four-digit PIN number that you give them. You may just make one up when you're setting up the account, not when you're calling. That would be bad. And it's, after that, it's as simple as recording a message on an answering machine. You record the message at the beep, and then if you want to hear the message you're recording, you hit one button. If you decide, you know what, that was really, really bad, no one should ever have to hear that, you hit another button to delete it and try again. You could post to the internet live. They'll handle the RSS feeds and the enclosure tags and all that wonderful stuff for you. Get into that later. Or if you decide, you know what, this is good, but there's some spots that I really want to edit out, you can save it. Go to the website later, download it, do the editing in a software, and then re-upload it and post that instead. So I really like GCash. I don't use it all the time, though, because the one thing that I don't like about it is it uses phone. Phone conversations aren't very high in audio quality, and sometimes it doesn't matter. If your message is important, the media does not matter as much. My mom calls me on phone, connection isn't that great. I'm still going to listen because she's my mom, and she still sometimes sends me money. You didn't hear that part. No, edit that out. I'll probably forget to edit that out. Moving on. Okay, computer and mic is the most common way that podcasts are recorded, though. My laptop has a built-in microphone. A lot of laptops that are made today have built-in microphones. Those of you who have laptops with you, do they have built-in microphones on those? No? Okay, well, you can still get a mic for $15 or less. I don't know if they still do it, but Radio Shack used to sell a microphone kit for Skype. It had a little CD with Skype on it, and it had a little microphone and headset that was with it. It was kind of cheap, but $10. And it was good enough for recording a podcast. You could also buy USB mics or stuff like that. iPod mics, they do sell microphones that you can attach to an iPod. Now, while you don't need an iPod to have a podcast, listen to podcasts, I do happen to have an iPod now. I love it immensely, and you cannot take it from me. I have bought a microphone for it. I bought two different microphones for it. I bought two because the first one had great audio. It worked wonderfully. It even had two microphones built into it, so it actually could record stereo, quote-unquote stereo, because the microphones are right next to each other. I don't know how much separation you can get there. But the connector that held it in place, there wasn't much holding it there, so it wiggled, and it broke the circuit, and I had an $80 piece of scrap plastic. So I bought a second one. That one cost $50. And every time my hard drive spun up or spun down, I lost 3 seconds of my conversation, and I didn't know until I was listening to it later. So I don't actually recommend iPod mics, even if you have, like the iPod Nano doesn't have a hard drive in it. It's got flash memory, so there's nothing to spin up or spin down. You're still going to get good audio quality, but the connector, I'm a little worried about it. If it breaks, you might be out the money for the recorder, and if it breaks really bad, it might actually break the connector on your iPod. Or what I'm doing right now, I'm using just a MP3 player that is not an iPod to record this conversation right now, my little Creative Zen V Plus. They make a whole bunch of different recorders. Creative makes a bunch. iRiver I've heard really good things about. I haven't owned an iRiver, but everyone I've ever talked to that owns one really, really likes it as a podcasting tool. And pretty much any MP3 player that has built-in microphones is a good thing. And a lot of them do because they're all trying to use the iPod. What does the iPod not have? A microphone, so they put one in. And then sell it for a lot less money than the iPod. Okay, up to the software. Okay, GarageBand. How many of you have a Macintosh or use Macs? Cool. GarageBand comes with most Macintoshes unless you got one from like 15 years ago. In that case, I'm sorry, but I've got an option for you to use too. It's a great podcasting tool, and newer Macs have a podcasting feature built into it because Apple realized that so many people were using GarageBand to record podcasts, they figured, hey, why don't we customize GarageBand so people who want to use it for recording podcasts can. So they specialize that a little bit. If you don't have a Mac or you don't have GarageBand, I recommend Audacity. I use that too. Yes?
Question. Are you going to be talking later about how to get the recording off the MP3?
Oh, sure. Sure, yes. Like I said, I'm going over a broad overview of this, and then I'm going into actual demonstrations. Audacity will run on pretty much anything, including that 15-year-old Macintosh that doesn't have GarageBand on it. When my art club was doing their own podcast and editing their own podcast, and these were 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, by the way, and I had them editing these themselves, they were using Audacity on one of those old iMacs that was like big and bulky and translucent blue on one side, and Audacity ran just fine on it. And iTunes, I use not for recording a podcast, but what I use it for is turning the audio file. Most audio files, when they get recorded initially, are not an MP3 file. MP3s have compression involved, and it takes a little more processing power, and not every computer is powerful enough to do that while it's recording. So what I'll do is I'll save the file as an uncompressed format. This little recorder, and most recorders will save it as a WAV file, which is Windows Uncompressed. I can export things from GarageBand as, I think I can export them as WAVs. I usually export them as AIFF files, which are also uncompressed audio, and then I'll throw them into iTunes. And the same menu option that lets you rip songs off of CDs and put them in your iTunes library can turn any audio file into an MP3, and I can show you that later also. Levelator I have not used, but that's another open source tool. It'll run on any computer, Mac, Linux, or Windows. That what it'll do is, especially if you're having a conversation with somebody where their volume is way down because they're further from the microphone, or they're using a different microphone and yours is way up, Levelator will go through and adjust what's known as the levels. They'll make everything so it's the same volume, which is kind of cool. I haven't used that so much because most of my podcasts are solo podcasts. That's because, again, I have a big ego.
So Audacity will not do that level up?
Audacity can be used to adjust it, and GarageBand can be used to adjust it. Levelator does it all automatically. It's all good. And if you are a video podcaster, my recommendation, especially if you're just starting out, would be to use the software that comes with your computer. If you're using a Mac, you've got iMovie. If you're using a PC, you've got Movie Maker. It's probably already on your hard drive. You might have to go into all programs and go to, I think it's accessories, see it, but it is on there. And they're pretty good. iMovie can export them as MP4 files, which is podcasting standard for video. Movie Maker does not. However, that's not too bad a problem because there's a website called Zamzar. Zamzar.com is really, really cool. They will turn almost any file to almost any other file. I don't think they can turn text into speech very well, but they can take a movie file and turn it into any movie file format you want, so they'd be able to turn it into an MP4 for you. Zamzar.com, and that is on the wiki, it's just not in my PowerPoint presentation here. Okay, if you are recording, and I'm just going to go through a few tips real fast for GarageBand and Audacity. If you're recording GarageBand, if you have an older version of GarageBand that was made before podcasting was a big hit, when you start a new file, the metronome, you know that thing, is on by default. So you start recording, you're talking, and you're wondering, what's that clicking noise? Not that that's ever happened to me every single time, but it has happened to me every single time I was using the older version of GarageBand. Turn it off first, so you don't get annoyed later. But if you have a newer version of GarageBand, if you select the podcasting option, it turns it off for you automatically. Monitor. There's a way to, if you click on any of those, if you open it up and select the podcast option, you see all these blank tracks automatically. One for male voice, one for female voice, and one for jingles, which is like background music and stuff. You can click on male or female voice and click on an eye that's over here, and I'll show you this better later on. And you can turn on what's known as the monitor. And what that is everything you say, you hear it coming right back at you in your earphones. Or if you don't have earphones, you can press another button so that you don't get too much feedback like we got during the keynote today. Let's not talk about that either. Some people like that because they can hear if there's any background noise that's being recorded. If somebody sneezed 20 feet away, did that microphone pick that up or did it not? And they'd be able to hear that through the headphones. It annoys me, so I turn it off, but some people like having it on. Enhanced podcasts. There's a way to embed images in a podcast if you're using GarageBand to record it. Apple made this themselves, their own proprietary system, and if you embed images in, so like, okay, well, I'm talking about this topic, I'm going to see this image, and then I'm going to switch topics, it's going to show a different image, well, then it will only play in iTunes, and it will only play on an iPod. I don't do that because of that. I don't want to limit my audience to only people who spent lots of money for an iPod, or people who prefer iTunes as the program that will download their podcast. Not everyone likes iTunes. I have to like iTunes, but I know not everyone's me. There's one of me, and that's enough. Some say it's too much. Let's not talk about that either. Okay, and the volume settings are better than what's known as ducking. Now, ducking, I actually have my mouse right over top of this here, so this little window would show up here. Ducking is something that Apple introduced with the latest version of GarageBand, where if you just throw some background music up there and you have it going for your entire length of your podcast, every time you start talking, it will lower the volume of the music. And when you stop talking, it'll go back up again. So there's no ominous silence where you're stopping between paragraphs or whatever, or you lose your place. That is kind of cool that they do that for you, so you don't have to do any work, but you really got to play with it to get the volume to go up and down to the right speed. Otherwise, as soon as you start talking, the music blares in your ears, or whatever volume you have it set for. I usually turn that off and modify the volume by hand. I have it up in the very beginning and then go down, and I don't have it go up again until the very end. And I find that much better for me. That's something you might want to try, and I can show you how to do that later too, if you're interested. Okay, on to Audacity. Now, Audacity can record in stereo or mono if you only have one microphone, which means that you actually, like me, aren't going to spend lots and lots of money for podcasting. There's no point in recording in stereo. It's twice the file size of the same quality. Newer versions of Audacity have it set so it knows you only have one microphone input, so it's only going to record in mono unless you tell it to do otherwise. Older versions of Audacity, like what I had to install on my Art Club computer that was really, really old, recorded in stereo automatically. You had to go in and adjust that. Noise reduction is your friend. Noise reduction is one of my favorite tools in Audacity, and I wish they had it for the Mac. You can go in, it's under effects, and select an option that's noise reduction. First you have to select an area that's silent, so you record 10 seconds of silence, 15 seconds of silence where you don't say anything. You decide to record the background noise of the area. You select that and go into noise reduction and say, okay, get a profile. And nothing happens. But now it knows what the background noise is. Go into that same menu again after you select your entire podcast and say, okay, get rid of all the background noise. And just delete all the background noise entirely. So the people coughing in the background, the train, if you recorded your podcast in your car, you pick out the engine noise. The only bad thing about it is it can take out too much sometimes, so there's actually a little scroll bar that you can move back and forth so it can take out more or take out less. If it takes up too much, your voice will start to sound a little tinny. But, you know, maybe you like that. Probably not. Okay, adding music to your podcast. Now you can't see it. That's annoying. It shows up fine on my laptop. It was an embarrassing picture of my sister playing guitar and having a really weird face. I wanted to embarrass my sister. After all, I am a brother. And she called me old. Because I am. She's 3 years younger than me. I waited 3 years and I told her, remember when you called me old? You're that age now. She didn't talk to me for a while. But moving on. Okay, adding jingles, bumpers. Bumpers are that's a little jingle or bumper, a little jingle or music that you put in between sections if you're doing multiple topics in the same podcast. Those are great, but there's a lot of music out there that's copyrighted. You shouldn't take the latest Britney Spears hit. Never mind. You shouldn't take that at all. But you shouldn't take any music that you hear off the radio and throw it in there because you think it's catchy. Because chances are, it's copyrighted and you could get in deep trouble. The RIAA likes suing people. And I don't like being sued, so I don't use that music. However, there are sources for free music. You could make your own. GarageBand was originally made for making music. If you have GarageBand, you can edit some clips together and have a half-decent song even if you don't have a musical bone in your body, like me. However, if you don't want to do that or you don't have GarageBand, you could go to a few sources. PodSafeAudio.com is my favorite for finding music that is free to use in podcasts. The only thing they ask is that you give credit to the person who recorded the song and uploaded it. If you give them credit, you're allowed to do it. GarageBand.com, which is not affiliated with Apple, it's a totally different site. They're actually affiliated with GCast. It's a service similar to PodSafe Audio. You're allowed to use it there. You're allowed to use the music there, provided you give credit. You say, okay, this was recorded by this person. If you want, go to GarageBand.com and download it yourself. And now you're allowed to use it legally. No one will sue you. At least not for that. And archive.org is where I first started looking for music that I was allowed to use for free. I don't always recommend archive.org because there's a lot of good stuff on there, but there's also a lot of other stuff on there. And I'm not saying it's all inappropriate. What I'm saying is, okay, that song, I'm not going to use that. This song, no, I'm not going to use that. This, I can't even hear that. That's Britney Spears again. they catch the copyright material, but no, always really fast. So, if you don't find anything you like on PodSafeAudio.com or GarageBand.com, archive.org might be a place to look. Some of the stuff is like really, really old recording, which you might actually like using. I'm talking like stuff from the 20s, 30s. Yep.
I thought that you could use some artist material. First of all, you give credit and you only use a certain amount of the song or something.
In some cases, yes. But what has happened on more than one occasion is whoever has the most money wins. You might win the lawsuit, but you'll be broke. And the RA has pocket pieces in any school district that I'm aware of. So I play it safe. And if music is copyrighted and I really want to use it, like Steve Zembo, who works for Discovery Educated Network, when he does put out a podcast, he uses a song that is copyrighted. I don't believe it's under a Creative Commons license. But he wrote the band and asked them if he could use their song. And they said yes, so he could include it. Okay, on to hosting places to put your podcast now that you've recorded this masterpiece. Vox.com is not for everyone. If you are making a podcast and your main audience is other teachers, not students, I would use Vox. The only reason I wouldn't recommend it for students is because they do put little ads at the top, and I'm actually getting ahead of myself here. First of all, it's free. You don't have to pay a dime for it. If you want to give them money, they'll take it, but you don't need to give them money. There's no learning curve. It's very, very easy to use. If you want to add music, you click on the link that says music. Actually, there's a slight learning curve because that's the same place you click to add a podcast. It's audio file. And it'll host, I think it lets you upload a gigabyte a month. You're probably not going to exceed that for audio podcast. Video podcast, I don't know about it. Depends on how you compress it. Only members may comment on anything you post up there, so if someone wants to say something nice about it, they have to join Vox. It's free, but it's a little rigmarole that you have to go through. And the reason why I don't necessarily recommend it for a podcast that you're gearing towards your students, it's because on the website that you create to go with your podcast, it will show ads across the top for various things. And I don't think any of those ads are inappropriate, but a lot of people get sort of irked when it comes to, you know, commercialization of education. Okay, if you don't want any ads at all, or your target audience is your students, or your students are podcasting, this is the place to go. Remember I kept saying I was going to drop David Woolley's name as much as I could? This is also run by David Ward at ClassBlogMeister.com. When you register at ClassBlogMeister.com for an account, you don't just get an account for yourself. Your entire school is then registered. And anyone in your school that wants to get an account, just go there and get one. But here's the best part. You've got your own little blog, which blogs and podcasts are very closely related because both these are necessary. You put the podcast in the blog. You can create a blog or a podcast for every one of your students. You can invite them to separate classes. you want to. You can have it so only they can see the content. You can have it so the whole world sees the content. You can have it so only they can comment, add comments on it. You can have it so anyone can add comments. You have a lot of customization in there. And what I really, really, really like about it is they don't post anything live on the internet unless you tell them, unless you say they can. Usually what will happen is they post something and you get an email. Hey, this student posted this. Okay, well, let me review this. Oh, that's great. Yeah, publish that. Oh, I got another one. Let's read this. Now, that's not so good. And you can write a response right back to them through the interface and say, okay, you know what? Your writing's really good. Your grammar is improving. Let's not write a blog or record a podcast about your parents and yourself going away on vacation next week and where they keep jewelry and that the key is underneath the mat behind the back door. You might want to rethink this. And if they just messed up in the one little part, like they used someone's real name instead of the pseudonym that you assigned or that they picked for themselves, you could go in and just change that automatically, not have to write them back and wait for them to see that. You just change that and then you help yourself. You can edit everything they do. And this, you know what, I'm going through and I'm not even clicking on things. Yes, it's also free. The only way you would be spending money for this service is when you are logged in, there's a little icon on the side where David Warwick is asking you to contribute to his Starbucks coffee fund. And you click on that and put money on Starbucks coffee. No ads at all, because he knows it's for education. Lots of control, like I just said. The problem is it's not WYSIWYG, which is why I have sorta behind lots of control. If you want to make the text authentic, you want some parts to be bold, some parts to be italicized, some parts to be bigger than others, want to insert pictures, you got to know a little HTML code. Fortunately, we have a free tool, you may have heard of it, it's called Google, and you can get all the codes from there. So that is the one drawback. People who don't know about HTML code for formatting text, slight learning curve. It will not, yes. It will not host the audio files themselves. It has a text file where you can insert a link to the audio file, and it will treat it like that's part of that blog entry. It'll treat it like it's a podcast. It'll create all the RSS feed stuff that you need, but it won't host it on there because David Warwick is doing this for free out of the goodness of his heart, and he's paying for the server space himself. So you got to find those places to host the file, and that is part of this presentation as well. Other places you can host files, blogger.com is pretty good. Unless your target audience is your students again, because there's a little link at the top of Blogger that says Next Blog. It takes you to a random blog on blogger.com. You have no idea what kind of content they have. It might be another school site. It might not be. So I wouldn't have that if my target audience is my students. Podomatic.com will host a very small, very limited blog, but it will post the podcast files for you. It'll even have an interface that's web-based that will record the podcast for you. But like Blogger, it's very easy to find things that really students should be looking at. So if you're using that, your target audience should be other adults. Edublogs.org and WordPress.com are pretty much the exact same thing. They both use the WordPress engine. The difference is Edublog is specifically for teachers and students, you know, or anyone who works in the educational field. WordPress.com is for anyone. I think they're both good services. I think it's a good engine. They don't really, as of when I checked this morning, I was hoping, maybe they added it now? No? Okay. They don't really support podcasting that well. However, there is a free service called FeedBurner, FeedBurner.com, which will insert the RSS tag that you need, the information you need to make it be a podcast when someone subscribes to it. What feedburner.com does is, you like, let's say you have a blogger.com blog and you want it to be a podcast. Well, Blogger does generate an RSS feed for you automatically, just won't put the audio file in there. You go into FeedBurner and ask you, okay, what's your RSS feed? And you copy and paste that in. It says, okay, and here's my, it gives you a whole menu of options that you can do. One of them is, this is a podcast. If you are making a podcast, just have the first link you link to in whatever entry you write, be a link to your audio files, to a link to what you uploaded to be the podcast. Feedburner will recognize that as, oh, they want this to be the podcast, and it will create the tags for you. They'll give you a different RSS feed, and that's when you promoted your podcast. That's when it's got all the information. And on top of that, it does a lot of tracking, so you can see exactly how many people are subscribed to your podcast, see if they actually clicked on links in the blog entry that goes with the podcast, see if they downloaded the podcast, or maybe just looked at it, which is kind of cool. Some people like that, some people don't. Yes?
Why are you advocating MP4 as opposed to
MP3? MP4 is video, MP3 is audio. I'm not advocating one over the other. It depends on the media you're trying to get across. Most of my podcasts right now are audio, because I record them while I'm doing other things or whatever. When my students were recording their puppet shows that they made, that didn't really go across as audio very well, so they had to use video for that. So MP3 and MP4 are both of the standards, depending on if you want audio or video.
So MP3 is the standard for audio podcast that will go across platforms?
Because every MP3 player that's out there, they're called MP3 players for a reason. They can all play MP3. There are other audio formats that can be used. They're not compatible with every audio player that's out there. Yes, it has a mic built in.
But it doesn't record an MP3, right?
No, it does not. That would require more processing power than something that small usually has. It records it as a WAV file, because there's no compression at all. It will literally say, okay, I'm receiving these bits of information from the microphone, save them on a drive. And that's it. I then convert that into an MP3 file using iTunes. Or if I want to edit it, I'll throw it into Audacity or GarageBand, and I'll edit it there. Okay, if you just want to host the audio files, I already mentioned GCast before, so I don't think I need to talk about that too much right now. Archive.org is a great place. They have unlimited bandwidth. They pay for everything. You can upload as much stuff as you want. You gotta be a geek to use it. Oh wait, that's not a good thing. So that's not so great. However, there's another great service called rmedia.org, which will not host a single page. Wait, that's not so good either. But the two of them together are really awesome. Rmedia.org made a deal with Archive.org. What they do is they put a nice, cool-looking face on Archive.org. If you're not a geek, you get an Archive.org account anyway. You get an Rmedia.org account, and they'll ask for your information, your login and your password for Archive.org. And they'll do the work for you. Let's say you want to upload an audio file, and you say yes. Find it on your hard drive. Here it is. Okay. Would you like anyone to have access to this? Nah. Everyone does have access to anything you upload to the internet, usually. Would you like anyone to have permission to remix this or use it? Yes or no. Would you like to use it commercially? Yes or no. It gives you a lot of options for that. And then you hit upload. It does it for you. It does have a downloadable program that will upload things for you as well. But they don't always require that. It depends on how big the file is. If you've got really, really big videos, I think they require you to use the program you download from the site. But if they're audio files, chances are you can upload it directly to their web-based interface. And there's also Podomatic.com, because like I mentioned before, they do host MP3 files. Okay, on to the demonstrations. It's all downhill from here. I'm sorry. I got one more slide. I'll show you that later if there's time. How are we on time, by the way? 5 minutes. Okay, what would you like to see? How I do it? Okay, I'm doing it right now. if I want to record something on that, I'll go to Audacity first because that works on everything. So I'm not singling out people who only use Macintosh, even though, we are better. No, not true. Not true, not true. Okay. So I've got Audacity open, and I'm recording. I hit the big red button, and I'm recording right now. And I'm kind of loud because I'm broadcasting to everyone here, and I'm going to shut up for a little bit. Okay, stop. All right, now I've got this part here where I wasn't saying anything, but we still have a lot of noise because of whatever's going on up there. So here's the cool thing I like about Audacity. I go into Effect. Go down to Noise Removal. I can't select anything here, but I can click Get Noise Profile. Nothing happened. I select All. Try it again. Go down to noise removal. That first step is very important. Okay, now it already has the profile. I'm not going to click that again because then they'll think everything I was saying was a noise, which actually says a lot about me personally. But let's not get into that. And click remove noise because it wasn't really that long a file. It went like that, thanks to my dual-core Intel processors. And you notice how that spot with all the noise got a lot smaller? It took it out entirely. Now, the only problem is it might be up too much, like I said, and it might make your voice a little tinny. Once you're happy with changing audio, because I talked about that too. There's this option up here. You see the two little arrows and the line that goes through it? If I select that, I can go in and I can make things louder or softer, which is kind of cool. And I think this is the latest version that's on their website. But you could do this with the older version I was using from the Art Club as well. This is something they built in pretty early. The main difference I noticed with this is when I downloaded this, I didn't add what's known as the LAME encoder, and it still lets me export as an MP3 file. It put that in automatically. Older versions, you have to download that file separately and add it in. Or just use iTunes to convert it into an MP3 file, which I find to be easier. Nothing. It's open source, it's totally free, and a link to it is on my list. Yes. Pretty good. Pretty good with everyone? Okay. Just checking. If you want to give me money, I'll take it, but you know, probably shouldn't. Okay. And as you can see, over here I've got a certain part selected. When I'm over here, clicking on I can adjust certain parts of it. So if I want one part to be louder or softer, I can do that. So I can have the volume change for my background music in there if I want to. Once that's all done, I go into File, and the menus are almost identical for Windows or Mac or Linux. It just looks a little bit different, but the commands are the same. I can export as a WAV file with uncompressed audio, the quality that went in is the quality that goes out. Or I could export as an MP3, and it gives me a bunch of options there. I've had good and bad results doing that. I prefer to use iTunes using the same interface that can be used for ripping CDs, as I said. Okay, I see how 1 minute left, so I actually have some stuff that was given to me by a publisher, and they said, we'd like you to give this out for free, and I said, well, you're twisting my arm behind my back, but I guess I can give it to people. So, this is a book that I actually did read this. It answers 90% of the questions that I get asked about podcasting. If you want it, raise your hand. I've got three more things here. Well, I wanted to be somewhat random there. Okay. Another podcast in the classroom book? I don't want to hurt anyone. Oh. So this one is on activities for podcasting. Whoa. It's falling out of the project registration card. I'm not actually damaging the book by doing that. And the last one is, I think this is a CD. Either CD or DVD, but over 3,400 royalty-free MP3 files being used in sound effects in your podcast. I'm afraid to talk to this. Yes, but I know you, and I don't want to be disagreeing with you. Yes, but I'm honest, I guess. Okay. Oh. Anyway, so random because you saw her. I was trying to you guys, really. Okay, if you have any other questions, I just believe my email address is on the handout. Feel free to email me. Thank you.